Take your Bibles, please. Find 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look down to the last verses of that chapter. It's a long chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verse 57, 58, and then go on over into chapter 16 to the first two verses. So please join me on verse 58 and on verse 2 of chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come."
Keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. Please listen to me. I've got to preach quickly. I wished I could give it a little bit more time, but I'll respect the day and the hour. It seems as though our world, and especially in America, we are set up to be results-oriented, not effort-oriented. We tend to base success based on the results instead of the work. Many of you would view success as more money, a better job, much money in the bank, a bigger 401k, whatever. And God's economy is different than man's economy. God's economy is much different. God bases success, now listen to me, God bases success on our effort and our work, not our results. God said, "I'll bless you according to your effort," but God didn't say he was going to make you rich. Too many times we look at the outcome. By the way, that's what the public education is about. It's called outcome education.
That's right.
More like income from taxes, but anyway, but God's economy is you put the work in and God will bless the work. God is not against wealth. God is not against prosperity. But that is not an indicator of God's success. I know lost people that are wealthy. I know lost people that are prosperous. So that is not the indicator of success. God's focus is always put on our effort or our work put into something, not the results from it. Please listen carefully. God says that he wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. God did not say, "I want you to be producers of the word." Hello. God says he wants us to get the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, "It's your responsibility to get everybody saved." Everybody doing okay? God never demands results. Preacher, am I doing enough? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Yes, then you're doing enough. Well, it's not going as well as it used to go. Don't care. God's blessing the effort, not the results. Quit worrying about what the results are and put the work into it. God only asks us for work and for effort to be put forth. Notice it says in the last part of verse number 58, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He didn't say that your results are not in vain. He said your labor is not in vain. Now please listen to me. Public education for over a century has tried to reprogram the American culture. This started at the turn of the 1900s. This goes much farther back than you know. It has been said you need a good education to get a better job. All the while, we are destroying God and the morality of our nation. Why is it our forefathers never went to school past eighth grade? Many of them went to college by the time what we would call ninth or tenth grade. Most of them, if I gave you what they wrote in eighth grade, couldn't even read it without a dictionary. Do you know, not until Franklin Delano Roosevelt did we have our first public educated president? Every other president prior to FDR was in a one-room schoolhouse or homeschooled. And look what he did. He brought communism to our country. Now listen to me very carefully here. Real education should not teach you just how to live, or teach you just to make a living. Real education should teach you how to live. Education is not about what job you can get. Education is not about whether you can get a good job or a decent job or a higher paying job. Education is supposed to teach you how to live. We're to reward character, not talent. I'm for a high GPA. Thank God somebody can do it. That wasn't my award. Yeah, buddy. I was talking to Marcy Smith this weekend, and she was here at Our Ladies a week or so ago. Their daughter, or her daughter Maddie, graduated from Commonwealth Baptist College Friday night, and she missed being valedictorian by 4/100ths of a point. She was upset. She only got salutatorian. I said, well, I never got upset. I wasn't even close. I wasn't mentioned. We're talking the difference of 2 or 3 test questions in an entire 4 years of college difference. Yeah. See, oh, how come they both didn't get it? Because there was 4/100ths of a point different. I read just this last week, one of the public schools, they had 90 valedictorians because everybody was so close. Yeah. That's wicked as hell. Well, we think everybody ought to get it. That's why your kids can't even read and write. We've believed the devil and the world's philosophies way too long. I don't care how good or how bad your grades are. How much real work have you put in to school? Amen. I'm glad we honor a most improved student. Logan, I'm proud of you. You worked hard this year. And it shows. God rewards the effort. Now his sister got all the brains. No. but you talk about a young man that had to dig down deep and work. And he did. Pulled his own boots up and said, here I go. Might not like it. No boy likes school. But I'm going to grit my way through it and I'm going to catch myself up. And he did. You see, God will bless the effort and reward you accordingly. By the way, listen to this statement. God did not promise the same results for the same work. That's communism. That's socialism. Communism says same work, same result. Same reward. God says, I'll reward you accordingly. God did not promise the same results that others get. He personalizes our results to what we do and what we need. And based on how we do it. You know, to some it comes easy. To others, it's work. Some of you were good students, very few. And good grades came somewhat easily. I was one of those students that didn't have to study real hard and still got A's and B's. Now, I worked. I did all my work at school, so I didn't have to work at home. No, that's you, Scott. But learning kind of came pretty easy for me. It still took work. For somebody else to get the grades I got, it would have taken them a lot of extra work. I wasn't one of those people that could study 4 and 5 and 6 hours for one test, even in college. That was stupid. I didn't have 4 to 6 hours to study for a test. Now, I would write out my notes and rewrite them. If I had tests coming up, I would make note cards and put them in my pocket. And while I was at the shop working and running parts on machines, I'd have my 3x5 cards out, studying and thinking through things and refreshing myself. But I didn't sit down and study 6 hours for a stupid math test. Say what? I wasn't built that way. But I could get it. Now listen to me very carefully here. If you learn how to live, you'll make a living wage. You don't have to have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a PhD, which is posthole digger, to make a living. If you're in college, it means pretty heavy date. Amen? But anyway, just because you go to college and learn more facts doesn't mean you have the right to earn more money. That's anti-public education. I'm sorry to say this. America has educated herself out of earning a living. Now we can't find people willing to work labor jobs. There's nothing degrading about working a labor job. Promise you this, you learn to be a carpenter, learn to frame, you'll get hired with a pretty good wage right now because ICE is taking all the other workers. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. My son-in-law is a builder, and they can't find Americans to frame buildings right now because we've got a college education. That's below us. Well, if working with your hands is below you, then you need to go back to school and learn how to work. America has educated herself out of working. Too many people look at labor jobs as below them. You ought to learn to work hard at whatever job is before you. Amen. Young people, listen to me. You want to grow up and be an adult, then you better learn how to work hard with your schoolwork. Amen. My Bible says that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God will reward hard work. And by the way, just because you get good grades doesn't mean you should deserve more respect than somebody that works with their hands. Amen. Just because you have a piece of paper on the wall that says it took you 6 years longer to learn what everybody else learned in high school doesn't mean you deserve respect. Hello. You will... You walk into my office, you don't see my degrees hanging on the wall. I've got my ordination. Say, why don't you display your degrees, preacher? Because that and $3 will buy you a cup of coffee. Who cares? Yeah, that's at Sheets too. I don't have the money to go to these other fancy places, amen? And when you can't taste it, doesn't matter anyway. We're too wrapped up in our degrees. I love what Brother Hiles used to say. We have more degrees than temperature. You got people out there that have more degrees than they have sense. Let me give you a few thoughts here and we'll go to the house. But I want to talk to you today about your labor is not in vain. Number one, God never promises same results. He promises to bless our work in obedience. I want you to look at something with me. And I'll read it in a second here, but look at me. This is why God says about tithing that it ought to be a percentage, not an amount. Look at verse 2 of chapter 16. Upon the first day of the week, by the way, that's Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the Lord's day. Let every one of you lay by him in store. What's the next phrase? As God hath prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. Watch this. God doesn't say everybody who works a certain amount of hours should make a certain amount of money. Your communists and your liberals want to keep upping minimum wage. Well, you can't make a good living on minimum wage. Who said you're supposed to? Minimum wage is for entry-level workers. It's not to be a maximum. Please don't take this the wrong way, but some 16-year-old that still wet behind the ears and hadn't done anything but hold on to mommy's apron string shouldn't be making $15, $20 an hour. Hello. That's why it costs you $10, $15 just for a stupid meal at McDonald's. Because you got to pay some idiot to stand there putting frozen french fries in a basket, pushing a button, letting it go down and wait on it to beep, to pick it back up, to turn the beeper off, and you got to pay him $15 an hour to do it.
You still get
involved. Yeah. Say why? That's why you may... When I entered the work world, and some of you people that are older than me, hush. But when I started working, minimum wage was $2.85 an hour. Shut up. It was for you too. I remember when it went up to $3.15 and I got a 20 cent raise, and I was like, man, this is great. Shoot. I remember that. You say, what was that? That was encouragement to work hard so you didn't have to work for that wage anymore. God blesses. By the way, tithing is effort-based, not amount-based. It's not result-based. God blesses, we give back.
Amen.
When we give back, God says, hot dog, I can open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, and I'll rebuke the devourer. Now let me show you what I can do. And it doesn't matter if you made $10 or $10,000. God can bless it and he will bless it.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter... Thank you. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 for a second. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 13. God warns us about socialists, communists, and denominationalists. Denominations put all their money together as one denomination to make more money. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 verse 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have, what's the next two words?
One
purse. God says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Preacher, why aren't you a Southern Baptist? Because I don't want to send our offerings to the headquarters in Atlanta or Dallas, wherever it's at these days, and have them send back what we're supposed to have and they keep the rest. That's everybody having one purse, and God said, refrain thy foot from them and don't walk in their path. God says we're not to be putting all of our eggs in one basket and letting others decide it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 8. The Bible says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst with new wine. God says, if you'll obey me with your tithe... What is a tithe? 10%. And God says the word tithe actually means the first 10%.
Right.
That's before taxes. That's before you pay any other bill. Pay your tithe. Say, what is that? He said of all your increase. that's not just your paycheck. He said all your increase. When I've sold my homes, I've tithed on it. Amen. If I sold a car for profit, I tithed on it. Amen. Say, why, preacher? You wonder how I've gotten to where I've gotten with what little we've had? God blessing. God says on all your increase. Then he said, I'll bless you, I'll multiply it, and I'll make it to where you'll have to build bigger and better things to hold it all. God blesses this church. Can I tell you why people have learned how to tithe? I don't ask for me. I haven't taken a pay increase in 13 years. Matter of fact, I've cut my salary several times. Hello? Say, why, preacher? Because I really believe, and plus, I do more than tithe. I'd rather take care of those that work around me than me get more, because God blesses me real good. Everybody doing okay? God says, stay away from people who want to have the same. God blesses the effort, not the amount. God blesses the effort, not results. Let me read Proverbs chapter 8 to you very quickly here, verse 17 through 22. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That means teach young people how to do this. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now look at me. Look at verse 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Oh, those that love me will inherit substance. Wow. And I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. God never said you're going to get rich, though.
Amen.
But may I say something? There's nothing sweeter than going to God and say, God, I've tried to obey. I've got a need. Would you help? And then all of a sudden, you're obeying and God says, you did good. This opportunity has come and it's a good deal. But in the process, I'll just start unfolding a few other things and take care of it while I'm there.
Amen.
That's how God blesses.
Amen.
You can't put God's economy on paper.
Amen.
Doesn't work that way. But I promise you this, you obey him. The Bible says you'll have things, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and rolling over. You'll say, how did this all work out? God. God blesses your effort. God blesses your obedience. And you just let him take care of what the results are. Boy, this is good stuff. As a teenager, my brother was 3.5 years older than I. That meant when I was 12, 13, my brother bought his first car and started driving. Do you know how hard that is? On a 13-year-old when your brother's driving and you're not allowed? That's criminal. But my brother had worked hard and saved up and bought his first car. It was a 1950 Ford Crestliner with a flathead V8 in it. It was a tank with no guns. He worked hard on fixing the body on that thing and everything else. His floorboard wasn't there. I remember we got an old speed limit sign and my brother cut it out with a welder and we put that down in as a floorboard for that car. You say, why? Because there was nothing else that you could do because there was no metal there. He worked and worked and worked and worked. We called it the Bondo bucket. You men know what I'm talking about, amen? That car had more fiberglass. It was a friendly car. It waved everywhere it went. My dad would say, son, you want a car when you get to be 16? Yes, sir. He said, good. Start working hard and save up for it.
Amen.
I started mowing grass. I said, Dad, how much should I charge? He said, don't. okay. He said, how about you just work hard and let them pay you what they think you're worth? So I started mowing. I mowed the neighbor catty corner across the street, mowed the Morris two blocks away. I'd mow ours. I mowed my grandparents' yards, picked up, had Mrs. Morgan, picked up the neighbor next to her. Before too long, I'd have 10, 15 yards a week I was mowing. They'd all say, how much do you charge? Whatever you want to give me, I'll do it. Now back then, if you mowed grass and got $5 a yard, you were doing real good. I mean, that was good money. You know, a kid 13 years old mowing 10 yards for 50 bucks a week, it'd be like you young people making 500 bucks a week. I was making good money. I never one time told somebody what it would cost. They'd say, well, I need some extra done. How much would you charge me? Whatever you give me. I just work. I don't think I ever charged anybody anything, but let me tell you what happened. I had to raise $300 to go to Mexico when I was 13, 14, and 15 years old. I earned the money. My dad fronted it the first year, and I paid him back, and then the second year I paid for it. Wow. When I turned 16, I bought my first car, a 1966 Mercury Comet with a 289. It was a piece of junk. We had to weld angle iron on it to hold it together. When I sold it, I told the guy, don't drive it. It had a unibody on it. It was one of the first cars with a unibody on it. And the passenger front end wasn't really attached to the frame anymore. You'd step on the brake and the car would go this way. And you had to hold on to it to keep it from going off the road. It was so bad. And I told the guy, don't drive it. You're not going to make it. He bought the car back. He got three blocks away and walked back to my house because he didn't have cell phones back then. He said, I got to call somebody to come get that car. Front end broke. I said, I told you. He said, I know you did. He said, I thought I could get it there, but I didn't. Now, wait a second. I bought my first car. My dad says, if you want to drive it, you're going to pay your own insurance. And pay for your own gas. You want it, you pay for it. When I was 16, I bought my first car. I paid my own insurance. I paid my own gas. You say, why? Because my dad taught me how to work.
Amen.
Maybe that's what God means by Proverbs 13:4. You need not turn there. I'll read it to you. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It wasn't just because I wanted something. It's because I worked hard and was able to pay for it.
Amen.
So, God never promises the same results for the same thing. That's one of the blessings of tithing. God says that you'll reap as you lay up in store the first day of the week. Did you know that my needs may be different than Patrick's, and Patrick's are different than Brother Snow's? Brother Snow's are different than Bob's. But as we obey God, God opens the windows of heaven as we obey him, and he rewards accordingly to the works.
Amen.
That's why God doesn't set an amount or set a certain reward on our obedience. God knows what we need before we need it. And he says, if you'll obey me, watch what I can do.
Amen.
So, number two. God made man to work, but sin causes us not to want to. Most people think the curse on man was that we sweat when we work. By the way, it's not an allergic response. That was pretty good, wasn't it? That wasn't even in my notes. Did you know that as you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, man was working and man was happy?
That's right.
He and God got along just fine. Even Eve came along and they were all happy. It wasn't until sin came. If you read in Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read it to you. After man sins, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Say, oh, it was all Eve's fault. No, God commanded Adam.
Amen.
Adam disobeyed.
Right.
Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Notice the next word. In what? Sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Look at me. The reason you hate getting up and going to your job is because of sin. The reason young people hate doing schoolwork and it's sorrowful to them is because they're sinners. God made us to work. God made us to work 6 days a week. He said, take one day a week and rest. Thorns and thistles shalt thou bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. By the way, that proves that oil is not fossil fuel.
Amen.
You can't bury a body and turn it into oil. It turns to dirt.
That's right.
Well, what about all the dinosaurs? First of all, how did they get that deep in the ground?
Amen. They didn't bury themselves.
They didn't dig a hole down there and crawl down there a mile deep.
Amen.
Number two, living flesh does not turn to oil. It turns to dirt.
Right.
The earth produces oil.
That's right.
God made it that way. It's not a fossil fuel. Thank God the president made the climatologists come out and tell the truth and said, well, our predictions are not right. No. In sorrow. It doesn't say in sweat. Oh, he did say that you'd sweat. But the problem with sin is we don't want to work. Be at home working and tell your young person it's time for them to quit playing their games and watching their boob tube or their video games, and it's time to work. Well, why do I gotta work? You better be glad that you didn't have my dad, because you wouldn't have eaten for about 3 days. By the way, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says that if a man should not eat or should not work, he should not eat. You can say what you want, but I'm glad we reared our kids to learn how to work.
Yeah.
Not one of them is starved. My wife would go through their rooms before school every day. They had to have their room picked up and their bed made.
Amen.
You say, why? They had to do their work before they got breakfast.
Amen.
You don't work, you don't eat.
Amen.
Breakfast is there, but if you didn't do your work, you don't eat. You decide whether you're going to eat before you go to school. Did you have fights over it? No, they just didn't eat. And they didn't eat when they got home till it was done too. You're a cruel preacher. Yeah, but that's why all three of my kids have never been without a job. That's why they're not living on welfare. I don't believe in welfare. I don't believe it's a parent's job to pay an adult child's way.
Amen.
I think we ought to be there to aid them, because they do make mistakes and life is tough.
Sure.
But you shouldn't be an ATM machine for your adult kids.
Amen.
Well, they have need. Then make them work. I don't believe we ought to rely on the government to pay for everything. It was Thomas Jefferson said that any government big enough to give you all you want is powerful enough to take all you have.
Amen.
And look what they're trying to do. Yeah. Did you know that children are supposed to learn to work? Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 11. Quickly, I'm going to read it while you're turning. Even a child is known by his doings. Notice the word doing. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Parents, you're hurting your kids when you're doing their schoolwork.
Amen.
Parents, you're hurting your kids when you don't make them do their schoolwork.
Amen.
A child is known by their work. Hello. I tell the students in our school, this is your job. And if some of you got paid by how you do your schoolwork, you'd starve to death. You ought to take pride in your schoolwork. You ought to work hard. You ought to have integrity. I love it. My wife was mopping the kitchen the other day, and of course, the kids and grandkids are at the house. And my grandson, she had stopped mopping, and my grandson picked up the mop, and he was running it like a hockey stick across the room about 10 or 12 times. He was helping me mow. Well, little sister wasn't to be outdone. But she couldn't get that mop out of the bucket. But Meemaw came over and pulled it out. And I've got a picture of her with my granddaughter pushing the mop. Can I tell you why? She's teaching them to work.
Amen.
I shot a picture of it and I shot it, sent it to my daughter and said, second generation she's training. I love it. I love it. Work isn't supposed to be a bad thing.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Number three. God says that our work will bring blessings, not abundance and not wealth. Listen to me. God said that our work will bring blessings, not necessarily wealth or abundance. Let me read some verses to you out of Proverbs. Proverbs, and don't turn there if you're not there because I've got to finish quickly here. Proverbs 10, verse number 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Don't let your kids sit on the couch when it's time to work. Get them out there, get them working.
Amen.
God wants us to save. You ought to start a savings account for your children, and you ought not touch it, other than putting stuff in it, not taking something out. Well, I got a tight spot, preacher, then go work. Don't steal from somebody else. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. God said that those that know how to work are going to figure out how to live, not mooch off everybody else. God also says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, and I'm going to only quote part of the verse. The Bible says that a man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. You know, it's pretty sad when our desires are more important than our family's needs. I am not speaking to say something of myself other than illustration. But there's been, on more than one occasion, this preacher didn't take either all or part of his paycheck so that we could pay the church bills. Why? Because it's more important the church bill's taken care of and God will bless me.
Amen.
But preacher, you didn't say anything. Not your job. That's my job. There's times I've not taken my paycheck so that my staff could be paid. Hello. You see, God also tells us in Proverbs 23:4 that we're not to focus on making of money and wealth. That's not to be our primary concern. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. We're not supposed to work to get rich. We're supposed to work so God can bless. If he chooses to bless you with richness, amen. But as long as the bills are paid, guess what? God's good. I remember asking my dad one day, Dad, how do you know when it's time to get married? One of the wisest things my father said to me as a college-age person, he said, son, when you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, you're ready. When you can pay the bills for you and somebody else, not just yourself, then you're ready. When I said I do, I meant it to my wife. I guaranteed that her needs would be met and she wouldn't have to work unless she chose to. If I were to die right now, my wife's cared for the rest of her life. I've seen to it that she's cared for. You say, why? Because that's what my job is, isn't it? God says our labor is not in vain. When you die, and if all you have is a big bank account, it's vain. If you die and you have a house full of junk, I mean stuff, it's vain. Life is relationships and labor, not wealth and things. God says that our labor is not in vain. We're not to compare our results with others' results. Well, I worked just as hard and I didn't get that, because probably you didn't need that. Amen. And God has something else for you.
Amen.
Quit looking at what everybody else got and decide you'll be thankful for what God gives you. So our focus ought to be doing the right work, the right way, not the results. Because God says our labor is not in vain, not our results. Huh. Maybe we need to quit being like the rest of our country and be results-oriented and be effort and work-oriented. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think there ought to be some decisions today and some refocusing. Maybe I'm for savings. I'm for a savings account. I'm for taking care of the family. But some of us are so greedy, we've got to have 9 figures sitting in the bank before we let go of 3 pennies for God. Maybe we ought to decide that our labor is going to speak louder than our bank account. Some of you young people need to make a decision. You're going to learn to work and work hard. And not focus on the results, but focus on how hard you work. God will honor that. It's a preacher somewhere down in that sermon, something I needed today. Did you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many scores of hands.